As a special surprise, thank you, everyone listening to the Ron Van Dam Show today will receive a free photograph of Ron holding a ferret. Yeah, we don't know why he's holding a ferret either. But he's the boss. So there's the ferret. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Oh my God, I can't believe you did this. Well, now you're stuck. Well, I'm going to entertain you for the next short amount of time, and then after that, it's totally up to you. You go off and do what you need to do. But for now, just sit back. Don't think about anything. I will take it from here. Okay? Let me start by complimenting you. That never hurts. You look wonderful today. My God, you're attractive. I can tell just by looking into your eyes that you're a very talented, sincere, good, loving person. And thanks for wearing a mask. You can never be too sure. I know, we're in different parts of the world, but please. And by the way, for those of you that are stupid, when they say wear a mask, it's not a clown mask. Take that clown mask off. You look stupid. Hey guys, today we're going to give you the results of that paternity test. That should be interesting, huh? Yeah, I know, you had no idea, right? Anytime you see a flashing sign vacancy for a motel and you're with your significant other or insignificant other, don't check in. This is what happens. Don't say I didn't warn you. Motels are interesting. When I was a very, very young adult, just getting out of my teenage years, I used to go to motel rooms with these girls. I had no idea. And the seedier, the more disgusting the place, the more you wanted to jump on the bed and have a good time. It was a very, very odd time of my life. I'm kidding. That never happened. You know, I'm not promoting this in any way. And by the way, get the kids out of the room. Get them the hell out of here. This is not for them to hear. Wait till they grow up, like until they're like 75 or something. Get them out of the room. This is your time. It has nothing to do with them. Shoo. Shoo, kids. Shoo. Get off my lawn. Get out of here. Are they out? I'll wait. Are they out? I'll wait. Okay, they're out. Isn't it funny how, this is weird, isn't it? Yeah. See, this is what happens. This is when you shelter in your place, your mind starts going all over places it shouldn't go. I was better when my mind was preoccupied, then I couldn't come up with these stupid things. But now that like my mind is still like saying, all right, what's next? I don't even know what day of the week this is. All right, what's happening? Yeah, now my mind is wandering, and I'm thinking, why is sex so much more exhilarating if it's with a person that you don't know that well? As opposed to your significant other, whom you're deeply in love with and you spend all your time with and have agreed to spend the rest of your life with this person, sex is, it's all right. It's okay. But in your mind, the fantasies are with people that you don't know. Who wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole if they were paid to. These are the people that you're sexually attracted to. Isn't that interesting? I think you knew that already. That wasn't a survey. That was just something that, I had nothing to do, and I thought, this is interesting. I need to keep my mind occupied. By the way, that's not what I really think. That was for entertainment purposes only. When you talk about sex anywhere, especially in the media, people all of a sudden drop what they're doing. If they're doing the dishes, the dishes drop into the sink and they smash. Did they just say sex? Are they going to talk about sex? Oh, my God. You get all excited about it. You're just talking about it. It's not happening. It's not happening at all. You're just talking about it. Oh, they have some interesting data on sexual relationships. Oh, my God, let's listen. Turn it up. Turn it up, Bob. I can't hear. Turn it up. Oh, they're going to talk about sex. Wow, we're just totally fascinated by that. Some of the highest rated shows I've done over the 30 years I've been doing this stuff have been discussions about first sex. That's been like the highest rated stuff. And the other was colonoscopies. Same thing, right? Same thing. I did a series of interviews with the owner of the Bunny Ranch in Nevada, where prostitution is legal in certain counties. And the owner of the Bunny Ranch, he had three or four locations, and he would, test the girls, and all these celebrities would drive up to a secret entrance, and he didn't really mention who they were exactly. Sometimes I got a couple of names out of them. But he told me that he runs it like a business, and it's everybody's safe and checked out, and it's legal in certain counties in Nevada. And he was a guest. He's since passed away, unfortunately. Nice guy, a great entrepreneur, a little crazy, but highest rated shows, the highest rated shows. It's just the way it is, man. You talk about sex, people go, I need to hear this. I need help with this. I don't know. I've tried everything. I've tried dressing up like a circus clown. That doesn't work. Makeup gets all over the sheets. It's really disgusting. And it's not attractive either. No, I've not tried that, and I won't try that. I don't even want to talk about this anymore. I don't care if the kids are in the room or not. I don't even want to talk about this anymore. You started this. You started this. Yeah, I saw you. Yeah, as soon as I mentioned that sex word, it was like, Ron, let's talk about this more. Let me hear your ideas on it. Oh, come on. Seriously? Come on. And stop sending me naked pictures of yourself. Oh, my God. That's disgusting. All right. Okay, welcome to the program. I have a very interesting guest coming up a little bit later on. Are you familiar with the game Pictionary? Pictionary. It's quite popular. Most of you know what it is. It's become TV shows and popular board games, and it's a parlor game. I don't even know what parlor game means, but I think Pictionary. We're going to meet the guy that invented it, and that's just his claim to fame still. He's written a book about how he invented this game. He's the guy who started Pictionary, and we're going to talk to him. That should be interesting. No, he's not going to talk about sex. Oh, my God. What is with you? What's wrong with you? Seriously, man. Get a life. I went to Lowe's today. That's like a Home Depot. It's those are the two big ones, Lowe's and Home Depot. I had to pick up some rocks. I know. I want to turn my backyard into like a nice rock garden or something, put a bench there or something like that. yeah, I would never have thought of doing that before, but because I'm stuck at home so much, all of a sudden I'm thinking, I should have a rock garden in my backyard. I would have never crossed my mind. And I shouldn't even be doing it because it's just ridiculous. If people ever come over to my house and they say, what was I run? Did you put a rock garden in the back of your house? Yes, I did. Do you like it? The hell were you thinking? Why? What? A rock garden? Most people grow cucumbers or plant a chifflera or something. What did you cleared an area out and you put pebbles down? I went in a bench in the middle. The hell you thinking? Are you smoking and drinking at the same time? Don't mix those two hallucinatory ideas. My God. Yeah, so that's what I did. I picked up 3 bags of rocks. Even as I say that, I sound stupid. What'd you do today, Ron? Oh, I went to the store, bought 3 bags of rocks. What? What? Let me tell you something, Ron. They have rocks all over the place in nature. Any place you go, you're going to find some rocks. Yeah, I know. But these are like small pebble size, and they're beautiful. And I'm going to stick a bench in the middle of them. And, it's going to be pure. It's going to be a rock art. Oh, my God. You've got to stop drinking. This is not good for your liver nor your mind. Your brain cells have been reduced by 3/4. Oh, my God. A rock. Yes. Yes. Did you see a rock garden on TV and you said to yourself, I've got to have a rock garden? No, it just came to me. It was like a vision. It was a vision. I was sitting in my room drinking a lot of vodka, and all of a sudden it came to me. I need a rock garden, and I need it now. So that's what I did, seriously. I didn't do the vodka part. Well, maybe I did. But I did go, I went to Lowe's, and I did buy 3 bags of rocks. And there was a checkout person there at Lowe's. She was checking me out, man. She's checking me out. She's a checkout lady. She's checking me out. Hey, my eyes are up here. She was tittering. It had nothing to do with tits. That's just a word. It means you're laughing, like, to yourself. She's tittering. And I was going to say, like, what are you laughing at? Is my fly open? But I didn't ask because I knew she was laughing at the fact that I just bought 3 bags of rocks. It's just, you don't tell people this. You don't. Can you imagine going out on a first date? Hi, my name is Ron. Hello, Ron. How are you today? What did you do today? Oh, I went to a home store and I bought 3 bags of rocks. I have a headache. I need to go right now. Can you call me a cab, please? You're a cab? Oh, my God, you're stupid. Yeah, no, don't ever tell somebody you bought 3 bags of rocks. No, even worse, 4 bags. Oh, my God, 4 bags? Don't. Actually, the reason that I bought the rocks was I have a drainage problem. My nose gets stuffed. No, I have a drainage problem. Side of my house, all of a sudden, I have a little leaking in the basement. Couldn't make it to the bathroom on time. I have a little leaking in the basement because I think my foundation is cracked. So I looked it up on the International Web of Highways on the Google machine, and it said create drainage rocks along the side of your house where the intrusion is taking place by the water. And so that's what I did. I went to Lowe's and bought 3 bags of rice. No, I said rice. I didn't go to Lowe's and buy 3 bags of rice. I don't know how I said that. You bought 3 bags of rice at Lowe's? What'd you just say? No, it was a mistake. I meant 3 bags of rice. Ron, what's all that rice doing on the side of your house? I have a drainage problem. No, it's rocks. It's not rice, you idiot. Oh, my God. You're right. This wouldn't work, would it? No. I remember when I was a wedding videographer, I did that for decades and decades. Very lucrative field, by the way. Not anymore, but it was then. And now everybody videotapes things on their phones. I mean, you know, every industry is bastardized now because of technology. Hey, thanks, technology. You killed off about 500 industries completely. Printing industry? I don't think so. Videographers? Not really. Photographers? Yes, still, but not necessary. Everybody's got a camera on their phone. So I was a videographer, and I remember when I went to churches, because you know, people get married in churches for some reason, they weren't allowed to throw rice anymore all of a sudden. And I said to the priest once, "How do you believe all this?" And he said, "What are you talking about?" So, that was a different question. I'm sorry. I mean, how do you, why are you telling people you can't throw rice in front of the church anymore when the lovely couple leaves the building? And the priest said, "Well, Jesus told me that." No, he didn't. Tell me the real reason. Okay, because the birds eat the rice, and then the rice starts puffing up inside the bird and kills the bird. I said, "Oh, okay. Is this something that you thought could happen, or are you seeing dead birds all over the front of your church?" And he said, "I'm going to go back to my first explanation. Jesus told me to do that." Okay. So this was like a "What would Jesus do?" And the answer would be, "Don't feed rice to the birds." That's what he told me. See, is that part of your sermon? Yes, it is. So anyway, I don't know. Anyway, my guest is coming up very shortly. He's not really short necessarily. I don't know. It's a radio interview. I don't know what he looks like. I don't check that out. I don't say no. I can't talk to a guest until I have a background check performed on their criminal history. I need to know their exact weight. I want their medical records too, please. Otherwise, I'm not interviewing these people. I know they're not here in the studio. I do it usually by phone, but at the same time, a lot can be transmitted through those wires and over that internet. Anyway, that's coming up very, very shortly. On every show that I do, and again, not to brag, but I've been doing this for 30 years, and I know it well because I've been doing it for that long, but at the same time, I've gathered a lot of information that I believe has exploded my brain. I've probably done I've done thousands and thousands and thousands of interviews with people who've, doctors and people who've written books and experts and heads of companies and inventors and entrepreneurs and celebrities and all that stuff. And all I remember is when the show's over, I need to eat something. It's all I remember. I've interviewed a lot of chefs as well. It's very difficult to talk about food and not eat it. It's like sex. It's very difficult to talk about sex and not have it. The point is, you can have food, you can have sex, it's just, you know, how well are you eating, so to speak, quote unquote, he said. Is this going to stop you from ever listening to the show again? Is that going to be the outcome here? I do this every single weekday. I know. So I want you to join me again tomorrow. I'm not leaving yet. Don't get excited. But I want you to join. Make me a part of your routine. It's really cathartic for you. It really is. Because you can sit back in the chair and say, "Oh my God, at least I don't say those things. So I guess I'm okay." What I want you to understand before I do this interview with the Pictionary guy, I want you to understand something. I want you to get this clear. This show is theatrical. When I say something, I don't mean it. If I say at the beginning of the show, "You're looking great, you're a wonderful person," nothing could be further from the truth. when I talk about experiences and ideas that I have and observations, they're not real. They're not real. Did I buy 3 bags of rocks? Yeah, I actually did. I did. I do have a drainage problem on the side of my house. That's all the personal information you're going to get out of me. Ron, did you really buy 3 bags of rocks today? All right. No, I didn't. But I did. Okay, that's enough. This all comes under the category of I don't know who to trust anymore. I don't know who to believe anymore. Ever since Trump became president, I said to myself, it's over. I can't believe anything anybody tells me anymore. I just can't. I can't. Ever since I got these robocalls from scammers, I can't believe anybody anymore. I can't. I just can't. They set me up for years and years, and then they sink their. I can't believe anybody. The government. I can't believe them. As I said on yesterday's show, they told us smoking was good for you. It relieved tension. Oh man, how could you be wrong like that? It killed people. You kidding me? You know what's next? You know what's next? Cell phones. Cell phones. We just did a study on cell phones, and they will give you brain cancer. All those transmissions to the phone, and you put it up to your head and all that, and you carry it around with you around your crouch, or your crouch, whatever. It's always transmitting data that is destroying your body, and an entire generation will be sick. Sorry, we didn't know. Sorry. I'm telling you, man, that's the next big one. It's going to be like Roundup Weed Killer. All right, ladies and gentlemen, my guest joins us. Let's go to him right now. Rob Angel joins us. He's a speaker, author, and entrepreneur. His forthcoming book is Game Changer, The Story of Pictionary and How I Turned Simple Idea into the Best-Selling Board Game in the World. That's a long title. Rob, thanks for being with us. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Ron.
How did this come about? How did Pictionary come about?
Well, Pictionary was, after I graduated from college, I moved in with 3 buddies, and I was a 23-year-old waiter. And one night we started sketching words out of the dictionary. And we just had a blast. And I thought, this would make a good board game. Because after about the 6th night in a row, it was like, okay, I think I've got this. But it didn't quite turn out, didn't go smoothly as I'd hoped. I got overwhelmed. I started thinking about all the steps necessary to get Pictionary onto the store shelves. I could visualize that. But marketing plans and business plans just kind of overwhelmed me. So I stopped. I mean, I think people get overwhelmed with a lot of details, and that was me. So I took a pause, and I broke it down to its simplest step, and that was the word list. So I started working on the word list, and in that moment, when I wrote down that first word, which was aardvark, that was it. That's how I got started. I wrote down the word aardvark. And that moment, I no longer was a waiter. I was a game inventor. And that was the mind shift.
Wow. Have you been doing things all your life that kind of led up to this kind of thing and subsequently in the sense where your mind is always working kind of thing?
Yeah. I was what they used to call a dreamer and a schemer.
There you go.
Yeah. It was, now they're called entrepreneurs.
it's also overactive mind. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My mind's always going, still is, 100 miles an hour. And waiting for ideas and looking for ideas. And I love the creation part of things. And so when Pictionary came along and was part of my psyche, it was hard to let it go.
Yeah. It's interesting because Pictionary kind of lend itself knowingly or unknowingly to all different similar types of games, but it was all kind of based on this concept.
Yeah, it was very simple. I mean, that's where most great ideas come from.
Yeah,
yeah. We were just having a ball. It was something I thought would be like
there you
it.
Go. Well, now, and the book came about, well, actually, well, you do a lot of public speaking, and what do you impart upon people? What is your message?
Yeah, I call it finding your aardvark. When I talked earlier about when I sat down in the backyard and I opened up the dictionary and I wrote down the word aardvark for the game, it's just a matter of getting started, because if not, you'll never know what success looks like, whatever that is, good, whatever it looks like to you. And two, don't overthink things. We tend to look too far in the future and all the things necessary to get whatever we're looking for, whatever we want out of life or business or whatever, tend to get a little convoluted, shall we say. So my advice is don't overthink things when you're starting out, when you're trying something new. Just get started.
How long ago did this concept begin? What year are we talking about?
1982. Oh, I was 23.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you think that it's a little bit more difficult today to have an original idea? It's almost like if searching for a domain name, even if you use your own name.com, they come back saying, no, that's taken. You have to use your own name and then put like a number that begins with 2000 after that. And then maybe that's right. Available. I mean, do you get the impression that there's an oversaturation involved in today's world?
No, not at all. Ah. I mean, that's the whole beauty of life, isn't it? Right. Just coming up with something new and being creative and just trying something. So, for us, it was much more difficult. The barriers to get in were tough. We put the first 1,000 games that we produced together by hand in my apartment.
Wow.
Right? So back then, you really had to work hard at getting something done and try. But now, you come up with a domain name, whatever that is, you're on your way.
I guess it's
a great start. I think the opportunities are huge now. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, there's certainly more availability to the public than there was in the 80s. You had to place Yellow Pages ads and get into papers, and somehow, it was tough.
That's how I produced the first 1,000 games, was I went through the Yellow Pages, and there was no internet to find one manufacturer.
Correct.
So I found box makers, and toy box makers, paper printers, and all the rest of it.
Wow. Do you still reap the benefits of it? Financially?
No, I owned it for 17 years, 1985 when we launched through 2001, then sold it to Mattel.
Wise move. Okay.
I thought so.
I got you now. Okay. Have you come up with, maybe you can't even talk about what other things are in the works?
Well, right now it's the book. That's been a labor of love for the last 6 years, getting the story out and telling people that love Pictionary how it all came to be, and just entrepreneurs, what it's the journey that.
So the book's available everywhere, quite obviously. Is there a website where we can find you?
Yeah, you can find me at robangel.com or on social media, all of them at The Rob Angel.
Hmm. You know, this is a very big time for word games. I have noticed, and I even have interviewed quite a few people on the show who claim that word games and puzzles actually stimulate your brain and are extremely healthy for you.
Oh, yeah. It's interaction. That's the beauty of Pictionary specifically, is that you're always engaged, whether it's your sight, your sound, even your smell. It's this shared activity that people are playing, and that's why it's creating memories, and that's why it's keeping you engaged.
Yeah, and of course, in these very strange social predicament times, these types of mind puzzles are actually even more engaging than ever.
Oh yeah, it's we're all understanding the science behind it as well.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be just trying to something fun to do, but the science behind it. That's shows amazing. That the more engaged you are, the more you're reading, writing, all of it, the longer you'll live and the happier you'll be.
There you go. Well, it sounds fascinating. It's a little bit of insight about how things get started and where they can go. And it also gives people some hopes and dreams about maybe if they come up with something, who knows? It can happen. Of course, it takes.
If a 23-year-old waiter from Spokane can come up with a best-selling board game in the world, anything is possible.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're your typical 23-year-old waiter, but so be it. But nobody has to be. Nobody has to be typical anything, right?
Exactly. I love that attitude.
All righty. Hey, Rob. A pleasure speaking to you, Rob Angel. One more time, where people can follow.
RobAngel.com or The Rob Angel on social media.
Okay. And there you'll find the book and everything you need to know about it. It's a pleasure speaking to you. Continued success to you on the book.
I appreciate it.
Great idea, The Story of Pictionary and How I Turned a Simple Idea into the Best-Selling Board Game in the World. Thank you so much, Rob. You take care.
You too, Ron.
Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful, as usual, and I'm not kidding you about that. I will be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope you join me then. You can mark it down on your calendar, but you really don't have to because you can listen to the show any time of day. It's always here. And if you think you want to hear more, well, over 1,500 episodes are available on the Podbean Network. We can be heard on iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Radio Public, YouTube, Podcast Network, the Podbean Network, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, Podbay, and anywhere good podcasts are sold. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Three bags of rocks. Seriously. Yes, I did.